Hi, I'm Tim Kesty. I'm here with my wife, Debbie. We're visiting with Nate and Shelby Drummel about the history and the origins of the Monticello Congregation.
To give a little background of the Monticello Congregation, I remember Nate and I were serving on the Rockford board. And at that time, we're visiting about the number of people, especially at Sunday mornings. And I think someone came up with a number, just under 1,000 people that attended the Sunday morning service. And I thought to myself about Monticello, and I wrote on Nate's agenda, Monticello ? And then that got some ideas going with Debbie, myself, Nate, and Shelby. And we decided to meet at Applebee's restaurant to visit a little bit more about this idea. So at Applebee's, we're visiting, and it's like, how do we know who's interested in this idea of Monticello? Do we do Bible class? Do we do a church? And then the idea came up, it's like, maybe we should meet at Nate Shelby's house and just make it known, hey, if you're interested in visiting in this or meeting in this area, welcome to Nate and Shelby's.
And how many people were at Nate and Shelby's? How many people were at your house?
There were 62 people, and the interesting thing about it was that everything just happened so quickly. You know, from the time we first met in August to the meeting in September, and then we had that exploratory committee that was formed and to explore it, and one of the congregation members knew about this property for sale, Silver Springs, the old golf course. The time just, it went by quickly, and we met, and then we met on the 26th of October, so less than maybe 2 months later, where the congregation, the people that joined there agreed to form a congregation that night. But we had toured this facility before that meeting at that Little Mountain Church. And so that was kind of like the carrot that God dangled before us and said, wow, what if we could form a congregation and have a church at the same time?
It was kind of funny because I think one of the now members of Monticello at that church, it was like a little white church in town that we met at, and they said it felt like we got tricked into starting a congregation because we toured the Silver Springs clubhouse or golf course, and then we started a church. But I also remember another member saying that as we discussed and visited about this concept of how do we get this church, how we get a meeting place, he said, I think our priorities are, do believers want to meet in this area to serve God and gather together? And that was like the turning point where the congregation then was formed, where 62 people raised their hands and said, yep, we want to meet together. Put aside the concept of this golf course, and that kind of just went back burner.
And I would say personally that I had quite a bit of resistance about switching congregations. Like, I felt very comfortable in my home congregation in Rockford, and it's felt a little bit daunting to form a new congregation, to leave what was comfortable in Rockford. But then that night at that church in Monticello that we met at, it felt like so good and right to do it at that time, you know.
Yeah, it was really interesting because we could totally feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I think many of us had those reservations because we were happy and comfortable in Rockford. But when it came time for the vote, our hands just automatically went in the air, and right, we could just feel that power of the Holy Spirit, and it felt good and right.
And then how much longer after that did we start to meet as a congregation, and where?
So then we met at the Little Mountain Elementary School. No, not Little Mountain, at Eastview.
Eastview, yeah.
And we had an organizational meeting that night and to talk about how we would fund the church. That was in November. And we agreed that night that we would start holding services in first weekend in January. Services, and I mean the whole church. Services, Sunday school, and we had one minister that was a part of our group, and with a lot of faith, we moved forward.
Yeah, because that led to our regular held church at Pinewood Elementary. And then after time, we switched to Little Mountain Elementary, and it was a high energy congregation and a lot of excitement. But yet we're in the school setting, and that was okay, but we're always pining to have our own place. So we had a building committee or a search committee established to go look, and they looked at properties, they looked at buildings, they looked all over the place, and then lo and behold, the Silver Springs golf course came back and became available after it was went under contract with a solar company out of California.
Yeah, so we had moved on from the Silver Springs property by that time, and we were looking at other things, and lo and behold, God, again, knew far ahead of what we knew.
I have to say, whenever I would drive by this property, when it was no longer on the books for us to get, it always felt right. It always felt like, I think, like, that's going to be our church someday, because it just felt so right. And then...
could just visualize it as you go by.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember Brian Johnson, he was, for his work, he was doing soil samples out in the field just north of what is now our church. And he couldn't find any gravel there. But he looked back at this golf course building. He said, this would be a perfect church someday. And, you know, God knew then. Brian had this intuition. A few other people had these ideas. But yet, it didn't come to fruition until the bank then again approached us and said, here's 100 acres plus the building. And we looked at the building. It was just a disaster. Chairs hanging from the ceiling. It was vandalized. Copper was stolen. It was mold everywhere. It was like, man, this is terrible.
Yeah, water was coming in from the holes in the windows. And it was such a letdown from when we first saw it in 2012, because it was in such good condition and shape then, that we thought, well, we could just move right in.
We had all kinds of ideas of what we could do with the building, but then...
But God knew that too, because then when we actually got into it and we started, when it became possible that we would purchase the property, we were able to then convert the property to the way we would want to use it.
Yeah.
We didn't have to feel bad about, well, there was nothing to feel bad about because the whole inside was trashed.
Mm-hmm. And God really gave the energy for that. The excitement was contagious and everyone was excited and energetic, and we had really good turnout, I think, with our work crews and ladies bringing Saturday meals for the guys. And
yeah, our treasurer at the time, before we purchased the property, he said, we have just enough money for a down payment, but we don't have any money to do anything with it. But then we made it known that we don't need 100 acres. And there was, it divided out just nicely that 70 acres would become available. And we approached the LLC if they would be interested in this. And if they're not, then we'd put it for sale to the public to generate funds so that we could then renovate our church.
Yeah, so we closed on the property in May of 2016. No, we closed on the property in August of 2016. So we voted on it in May that we would move forward. And then in June of 2017, the LLC agreed to purchase the other 70 acres.
And that began a very precious, I would say, relationship we have with the LLC. It's not only is the LLC in town with their offices there, but then the Silver Springs property, as we know it today, it's almost like a sister congregation, so to speak. It's just the relationship that you have. The many LLC events are held. Youth camps are held here at the church when there's overflow from Stony. The facility is used for summer services, and it's one of those things that our congregation has allowed it to happen, to just feel free and use this facility to make it part of the experience of summer services. Or
also board meetings and board members workshops have been held here. And that also adds an element of work for our congregation with the kitchen. But there's always willing workers to come and serve the meals and make the coffee for the meetings here.
Yeah, we have been blessed, I think, with a lot of willing workers. And I think the thought just struck me that this wasn't just a blessing for our congregation, but actually for all entire Zion, because of the service site and everyone is able to come and enjoy this property.
You reflect back on 62 people that started this congregation, and now it's been over 10 years, 10 plus years later, and there's around 200 members. And how many Sunday school kids are there?
340-ish.
Yeah. I'd like to say it's the size of a small elementary school.
And then it's been very amazing to see that the HAPS age. I remember our first HAPS we held, it was like six kids that came over for HAPS, and I think four of them were boys, and nobody felt comfortable singing. And now the HAPS group, it fills up one whole side of the church. There's probably 150 to 200 HAPS age, you know, 15 to 25-year-olds that call this their home. And they're not just from Monticello. They're from Rockford and Elk River and Cocado and up north, that they're drawn here.
So yeah, in 13 years, there's been a lot of change, and God has blessed us. And we've been thankful to be able to share our property. And as was noted, that this has served God's kingdom, but it is in many congregations and many churches that they do serve God's kingdom in many ways. And we've been blessed with ministers along the way, and people have come and people have moved in and moved out, and yet the work continues. And having the youth here has been a special blessing. It's also been a special challenge because of the number of youth that are now gathering together. And so as we talk about how we can serve the youth and how we, it requires an additional level of energy again to say, how do we continue to serve?
And then you get people with different ideas. You know, someone approached the board, hey, we'd like to make a coffee shop. And then, of course, that comes with a whole bunch of discussion and hemming and hawing, but lo and behold, it all worked out and the funds were just right such that we could get it going. And now this is like a staple in our congregation. And you look at that line, and majority of the people in that line are the youth getting their specialty coffees, and those coffees are available for our sales. And it's just amazing on how the different fundraisers come about when you get a group of people that want to be together and have fellowship.
Our sales too are something that are really special here. We have two large sales a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And they've kind of made our name known to the community in that way. A lot of community people come to our sales, and it puts a face to our congregation. And it feels like with our sales, there's been so many willing workers, and it brings a sense of togetherness when we're all working together towards a common cause.
And to be part of the community too is important. I can't remember, there was a situation where the school approached us to have to use our facility for their school program. What was that program?
The nature-based program.
Yeah, so then our building was used on a daily basis through the school year for
2 years, I think it was. It started during COVID, and then they did it for 2 years. And
so
of our congregation students benefited from that program,
yeah,
too, and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and the bulk of that, the basis behind that program was that the kids would learn outside. So most of the bulk of the learning was done outside.
Outside, yeah.
They did use our dining room for eating lunch, but most of the learning was done outside and on the property here.
Yeah, and a blessing from that, not only did some of our kids use that, but then the school then rented our facility, which then in turn allowed us to fundraise in a different way that most congregations don't, and allowed us to get a couple classrooms out in our outbuilding, which now we really use on a weekly basis for our kids for teaching the Christian Education Sunday School and Bible class.
Well, it sure has been enjoyable to visit again with Nate and Shelby after all these years. We never would have known where our congregation would go at that time, and it's been fun to just remember the process of getting to this point, and most of all that God has blessed our congregation with a lot of families, a lot of Sunday school children, preschoolers, toddlers, and also a really large HAPS group. Not so many elders, which we have a few, which we totally cherish, but there's a lot of large families, and God has really blessed our congregation. So we're sitting here visiting with some HAPS group. We have a really large HAPS group in Monticello. And so we thought it would be fun to just visit with them about what HAPS is like in Monticello and the planned activities, the informal activities, and, you know, what draws them to Monticello. We have Bailey Laho. Her family is from Monticello. So she was raised here. And then we have Calista Koski from Cocado. And then we have Ina Anderson from Rockford. And all three of them are active in the Monticello HAPS here in congregation life. So Bailey, about how large is our HAPS group here?
It's about 200, maybe a little bit over.
Okay.
200, 250.
So on an average HAPS night, like in a home, about how many
I would say average is about 80 people.
Okay.
If it's at home. If it's at the church, you can get closer to 100.
And how often is HAPS planned as in the homes?
We try to do every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. Then it just kind of depends. There will be Sunday nights at the church. Otherwise, there's a lot of, during the week, HAPS will come hang out at the church. Or.
Okay. And Calista, what drew you to Monticello? Like, what was something that, you know, being as you were raised in Cokato?
Just all the people and all the activities going on. Just a lot more action.
Okay. That's what you like.
Yep.
Yep. Fun. Ina, how about you?
There's in Rockford, there's not really a HAPS group our age. There's just like older HAPS, but they don't plan Wednesday and Sunday night. So just knowing that I've had friends here and we do stuff here.
Yep. Okay. And then what other activities are planned outside of the traditional Wednesday and Sunday evening HAPS that happen throughout the week?
Some nights people will come to the church and we'll play games. And during the summer, it's used a lot more for, like, pickleball and basketball and spikeball and volleyball. And then we'll have, like, barn parties and hockey games and, like, Christmas dinners, like, those kind of things that are just throughout the year.
Can you think of anything else, Calista, that is kind of unique to Monticello? I know you mentioned that they're a very active group.
Yeah, it's just fun that everyone comes together and that there's actually a show of people here. And there's things to do. There's places to do it.
Yeah, knowing that when something is planned, there'll actually be a group of people attending.
And you don't have to have, like, if you post something, everyone doesn't have to show up for there to be some people to play games. Just a few people, or I guess part of the group can show up and there will still be tons of people there.
Right. Have any of you thought about, is there any, like, disadvantages or problems with such a large group, or has it been able to be managed okay?
I guess with a bigger group, people will kind of gravitate to friend groups, and then maybe people won't, like, reach out to everyone, and some people might feel left out being that it's such a big group. And then harder to plan things for a huge group when you have, like, you need a big place for people to gather. So it's a little bit easier to do it when you do break up into smaller groups.
Yeah, that's a good point. And from the sounds of it, the youth don't mind having HAPS at the church occasionally, and just having a host family host the HAPS at the church. Seems like the HAPS really like that. Yeah, fun. Well, it's been fun to visit with you guys and to learn a little bit more about what goes into HAPS planning and how everything goes. So thank you for joining us.
As we visit here, we're reminded again of the blessings that are in our congregation. And one of the blessings is your youth. The youth are precious because they are the future of God's kingdom. These workers, as young kids, grow up to be the leaders in our congregation. And as we go on, the work stays the same, but the faces change. And that is truly a blessing to have these youth.